run from Howling Time with a three-wide bid at the quarter pole. At the rail, Benevengo. Just behind them, Cyberknife. And then Taba, they turn for home. It's Jack Christopher in front. Howling Time. Taba switches to the outside, and he's now putting in a strong bid. And here comes Taba. Taba in the center of the track with good-looking stride. Squares off with Cyberknife. Cyberknife takes the lead. Taba going with him. These two in a thriller. Cyberknife just in front. And Cyberknife has won the TVG.com Haskell over Taba. Jack Christopher finished third, and Howling Time was fourth. The running time, 1 minute 46.24 seconds.
Frank Miramati with the call of the Haskell, Cyberknife, and Taba renewing their rivalry in today's Pennsylvania Derby. Hall of Famer Mike Smith is back aboard Taba and also rides in the Grade 1 Cotillion. We don't see him as often as we used to. Should he still be considered Big Money Mike? And Rich Strike is being pointed to the Lucas Classic next Saturday at Churchill Downs, but has the Derby winner won his final race? Plus, this year's nominees for the Canadian Hall of Fame were announced this past week. We'll tell you which horse should be a lock to get in. All of that and much, much more coming up on this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf rider Tim Wilkin, all presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program in the College of Business. And it all starts just 30 seconds from right now.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 35 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Well, trainer Dale Romans, turf rider Tim Wilkin are with me on this week's edition, as they are every single week. And guys, we begin with this topic. While trainer Todd Pletcher ponders his next move with top three-year-old filly Nest, two of her most notable rivals are in action later today. You have Secret Oath making her eighth start of the year in the Grade 1 Cotillion, and Echo Zulu returning to action for the first time since her first career defeat in the Kentucky Oaks. We're going to see her in the Grade 3 Dogwood at Churchill. If one of those two fillies is going to turn the tables on Nest the next time they meet, who has the edge? Timmy, I'll come to you first, my friend.
Well, you know, if first of all, I don't think Nest is going to get beat by either of them when they do meet again. I mean, Secret Oath is running today at the Cotillion, and I am at Parks, and you know, she's run a lot. I mean, I believe this is going to be her eight starts for her this year. She was eight starts this year. I mean, Wayne Lucas is known for, he always says he runs his horses when they're good. And who am I to even venture an argument against the Hall of Fame trainer if he says that she's ready to roll? Because she stayed in Saratoga after the meet ended, because Wayne said it would be easier to ship down from there to Parks rather than go to Kentucky and then have to ship back up to Pennsylvania. He did the same thing with Will Take Charge when he won the Pennsylvania Derby in 13. And Echo Zulu, yeah, she was so brilliant last year. I mean, in the Kentucky Oaks, she's fourth, and then she's supposed to run in the Acorn and was scratched at the gate and found out they had some kind of suspensory deal with her. If I was going to pick one that I think would have a puncher's chance against Nest, I think it would be Echo Zulu because she's a fresher horse, and Secret Oath has talent, no doubt about that. But you know, she's got to get back on track after she was dusted twice by Nest up in Saratoga in the summer. So if I was going to say if one of them has an edge against Nest, and I don't think either of them can beat her right now, I would say it's Echo Zulu, and that's a very, very timid vote because I don't think anyone's beaten Nest in that division.
They're both doing the best things they can do for their careers today, and that's avoiding Nest. And they heard a train going by. Can you all hear that?
Yeah. Is that what it's a train?
Yeah, I'm right next to a train track. I've never heard a train go by until I get on the radio.
You're going to jump on it?
Yeah, I've been a hobo before. But
somehow yeah, I find that hard to believe.
All right, no, please. Yeah. This Yeah, Ness is just in a league of her own right now. Echo Zulu looked like, you know, I was a big fan of hers. I thought she would step up this year and really move forward, and she might from here on out. But neither one of them want to hook Ness right now. I don't believe Wayne Philly's a great filly, but she's already proven she's tried her a couple of times. I don't see, you know, something has to happen to Ness for either one of them to beat her.
Yeah, like for her to retire.
Yeah, that'd be it. They just need to keep avoiding her. They got lucky this weekend. She didn't show up either place.
Yeah, she's definitely the queen of that division. There's no doubt about it. And some people think maybe the best three-year-old of any sex in the country right now. All right, topic number two. And, Dale, I'm going to give you a first crack at this one, but bear with me while I lay it all out. Clay Patrick, the hearing officer appointed to the appeal of Medina Spirit's Kentucky Derby disqualification, recused himself from the case this past week over a possible conflict of interest after a horse he co-bred was purchased by Baffert's attorney Clark Brewster at the Keeneland sale. Brewster has said that he was completely unaware of Patrick's involvement in the horse, and I need to point out that neither party did anything illegal in this situation. So, Dale, do you agree with Clay Patrick's decision to recuse himself from the case, and does this bring to light a much bigger issue for the industry? Should those involved with legal cases be allowed to have interest within the sport?
Well, it's a catch-22. If you're involved in the sport and you understand the game frontward and backward, you know, you can help the sport move forward, but you're going to have conflicts of interest. If you don't have any conflicts of interest, there's too big a learning curve from someone just on the outside stepping in and trying to regulate the sport. I prefer having somebody that knows what they're doing, and if there's a big conflict of interest, you recuse yourself. I think this was just a fluke of all flukes. I really do believe that. There was no payoff to the judge or anything. Anybody goes to the sales, you don't know who owns the horses. All you know is who the consigner is. TaylorMade's one of the biggest consigners there is in the game. They were consigning the horse, and it was under a number. It wasn't even by the name. And from what I hear, is the only way Clark Brewster found out that he bought it from the judge was he was looking up siblings of the horses he bought. He bought five horses. It wasn't like he went out there and bought one horse. And I'm sure that the reserve that he had lab money, that was a good horse. I saw him when I was there. I think it was complete fluke. I mean, there's 5,000 horses. You got 1 in 5,000 chance of buying from somebody that was sitting across from you during the hearing. I don't know. I wish they could have just went on with it. They had the hearing. They got that behind them. Now this thing's going to drag on for a little bit longer. But, you know, from what I hear, Clark's the one to call the commission. The fact that he figured, found out that it happened, and he turned it in and let them decide what they wanted to do, which was a proof to me that he had no idea what was going on when he bought the horse.
Yeah,
but the optics are bad.
The optics are bad, and in this situation, there was nothing nefarious taking place. It certainly doesn't appear to be, and we're not saying that. But moving forward, there can be situations, Dale, where if somebody is involved as a hearing officer in a process like such as this, that they could be influenced by something that happens with one of their interests within their sport, couldn't they?
They definitely could. They definitely could, but I think it's a small chance, and if it does happen, then they should recuse themselves early. You know, this is a one-off situation. I'm pretty positive this type of thing's never going to happen again. But would you rather have somebody sitting across from you that understands the sport and the game for either side, or somebody who's completely new and has no idea what's going on inside our game or how it works? I think we're all better off if we watch for the conflicts and try to fix them if they happen, instead of having people that know nothing.
Timmy?
It's a complicated sport with a lot of moving parts. It helps to have a little background.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine anyone's thinking that, oh, Clark Brewster bought this horse from the guy that's the judge of this trial. Oh, if I buy this horse, wink, wink, I'm going to get a better deal from him. That's ridiculous. I don't buy that one bit. And I don't think that these kind of situations, they don't come up that often. And if they do, I mean, this is America, man. Let them, someone wants to buy a horse, let them buy a horse. They want to be involved in the game, even if they're, you know, on the legal side of it, let them be involved with it. Let everyone be involved with it. I don't get it. I mean, maybe I'm maybe I'm dumb, maybe I'm naive, but I don't see anything any problem with that. That's
so
just me.
Timmy, you don't think Clay Patrick should have recused himself
from
his position as hearing officer?
I don't. I really don't. I don't think there was any kind of underhanded deal going on here. I buy that horse and then, you know, from you and you give me a better deal. I don't buy that. It was something that was totally non-related to that.
Yeah, it's just a random thing that happened. Let me tell you one thing. If I'm Clark and Bob, I'd be more worried about the judge thinking now he has to give me a tougher penalty to make it sure it doesn't look like he took a bribe or something.
Mm. Right. You bring a new judge in and then we got to do this all over again. Are they going to let him just read the transcript? Are they going to draw this out again? That would even make the sport look stupid, if you ask me.
Right, right. Yep. So going forward, a situation like this takes place again, let's say, and let's hope it doesn't, but these things always come up. Somebody who is overseeing a legal decision within our sport, and as Jimmy said, you know, the hearing officer, the judge, whatever you want to say it, you guys are okay with them having interests within the sport that could bring up this type of situation?
I am.
I am too. I am too. I mean, if it's a flagrant thing, you recuse yourself early before it goes. The other thing that makes this so rare is it happened after the fact. You know, the hearing was quite a while back, and they had a 6-day hearing. And, you know, if I'm the commission and I thought I won the case, I wouldn't want anybody recusing themselves. It kind of makes me wonder.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we'll move on.
It's always something.
It's definitely interesting. And, again, this wasn't a situation with the Clark Brewster purchase that we're saying was nefarious in any way. It certainly wasn't, but it just brings to light a bigger discussion for the sport going forward. All right, topic number three, time now to hear from our good friend Nick Zito as we present this week's edition of Right or Wrong.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
We'll see what Timmy and Dale think. Guys, number one, if all goes according to plan, Del Mar Futurity winner Cave Rock is a lock to give Bob Baffert his record 6th win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile in November. Is that right or,
yeah, right or wrong? Am I right?
I'll take that one first. I'm going to say it's probably right. I don't know if he's a lock. Nothing's a lock in this game, but he's going to look pretty good going into it. And if that one gets hurt and goes to the wayside, he'll pull another one out of his pocket like he always does.
You know, the thing with Cave Rock, son of the great Harrogate, won his first two starts by almost 12 combined lengths. And that Del Mar Futurity, I didn't realize this, Bob has won that race 16 times. I mean, that is just mind-blowing. And he was second and fourth in that race. I mean, it looks like his two-year-olds are loaded for bear again. And you look at, on the East Coast, you know, I thought earlier in the summer there might have been some horses that, might do some good down line. And they still might, but, you know, Echo Again and Damon's Mound didn't run in the Iroquois. Curly Jack is the winner of that race for Tommy Amos. Looks like a nice horse. Forte, who won the Hopeful at Saratoga, looks like a nice horse. But I don't know. As of right now, it looks to me like Bob's sitting on top of the mountain with Cave Rock. And like Dale said, you know, he's got more than one in that barn. So I think I'm going to give our friend Nick Zito the right call on that. Yes, right.
All right, topic number two, my statement number two, Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith, well, he doesn't ride nearly as much as he used to, but he does have mounts in both the Cotillion and Pennsylvania Derby later today. He should still be considered Big Money Mike anytime he shows up in the program. Tim Wilkin, is that right or wrong?
What do you think, right or wrong?
I think right. I actually talked to Mike on Thursday, because I'm down here at Parks working on their notes team, and I asked him that. I asked him if he considers himself to still be Big Money Mike, and of course he says he does. He's 57 years old, and he says he's working out more than he's ever worked out. He said he runs 5 to 6 miles 5 times a week. He's in the gym just about every day, and he's you know, he did have a pretty good Del Mar meet. He finished 4th. With 20 wins. I mean, he doesn't have as many grade one wins on the resume this year. I think it's just one with Taba in the Santa Anita Derby. And last year, he and I think it's four or five graded stakes he's won this year. He won a dozen of them last year. But, you know, he's still in demand. Obviously, Baffert's using him today on both his horses. He hasn't ridden the filly, Adair Manor. Johnny V has ridden her, but he's riding for Todd in this race. But he's still on Taba. He still knows how to ride. He knows how to get the job done. Yeah, I'm going to still call him Big Money Mike.
Yeah, it's crazy. It seems like yesterday we were at Phoenix Hill when we were kids playing pinball, and Mike was talking about breaking off and going to New York for the first time and was a little apprehensive about doing it, and he went on and set the record for grade ones that year. It just seemed like yesterday, and we were just kids. Now we're talking about, is he still good? He's still good. He's good. He might not be as good as he once was, but he's as good once as he ever was. You put him on, if I got a grade one horse, give me Mike anytime.
All right, so both guys going with right to that question. All right, final one. Tomorrow is National One-Hit Wonder Day, which immediately made me think of Kentucky Derby winner Rich Strike, who has been referred to by many people as a one-hit wonder. He is being pointed to the Lucas Classic at Churchill Downs next Saturday. Guys, the Derby was likely the final win of Rich Strike's career. Is that right or wrong?
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right?
Dale?
That's absolutely wrong. Even if it is, though, it's better to be a one-hit wonder than a no-hit wonder. I thought his race in the Travers was sneaky good. He could have, a couple things could have gone different. He could have run second. He's going to win some more races, and he may be even better than a four-year-old when he comes back. You know, he's got better, older he got, and this horse may too.
You know, I agree with Dale. I'm going to say wrong on that. I think that, you know, Rich Strike validated. You know, after the Derby, which, you know, the one-hit wonder, everyone was saying that. And then after he stunk it up in the Belmonts, it was like, I told you so, that this horse is not any good. He was lucky to win the Derby. But then he came back in the Travers, and he ran a darn good race in that Travers. I mean, he was fourth, but he could have been second. I mean, he was right there. I mean, it was just, you know, nostrils, inches, heads. He's going to win another race. He might win a couple more races. I'm not saying he's going to go out and win the Lucas Classic. I mean, that's a tough spot he's going to be in. And I certainly don't, but he's not going to be pointed to the Breeders' Cup. He's probably going to end up in the Clark at the end of the year, but they want to bring him back next year. They expect he's going to be a better racehorse at four, and I think he will be. And I think, you know, I'm not going to say he's going to become one of the greatest of all times, but he's going to be a usable horse, I think, as an older horse. And, you know, he's going to show up and win. I think he's going to win some of these races. Not a dominating horse. He's going to be a very competitive horse, I think. And I would not be surprised if he gets better next year and does some things.
And you guys agreed on all three of those topics. I got to do a better job of coming up with questions to make you guys disagree. Is that right or is that wrong? That is definitely
that's,
right. I can tell you that.
That's definitely right.
Yes.
Definitely right.
It's more fun when we disagree. Yeah. It's more fun to argue with Tim. I never win, it seems like, but it's fun anyway.
No, yeah. No. You, what are you talking about? You win all the time. You're like I mean, we call Mike's the Baron, but you're the Baron of Kentucky. You yeah. Always win the arguments. You should be one of them litigators.
Hey, yeah, let me up there. I'll judge Bob real quick. So give me your Rolodex and get out of the game.
Dale, you're the Atticus Finch of modern times.
There you go. Kill a mockingbird.
The Roman Empire.
Pretty good there, Timmy.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
The Roman Empire. I love it. Yeah, give me your Rolodex and get out of the game. I love that line, Dale. Yeah. There's a lot of trainers out there that would love to have that Rolodex.
Wouldn't they?
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
All right, topic number four before we get to our West Point of the Week. And this one, Dale, this is just for you. Five-time grade one winner Court Vision is among this year's nominees for the Canadian Hall of Fame. So, Dale, state your case for why he should get in to the Hall of Fame.
Slam dunk. You know, he was purchased as a yearling by our very good friend Nick Zito, run through a two-year-old sale. Started out with Billy Mott, won a grade one. Moved to Rick Dutrow, won a grade one, moved to me, won the Breeders' Cup mile. It's just a phenomenal little racehorse, a little undersized, little engine that could. What a nice little horse he was to be around, and gave me one of the highlights of my career. Put him in.
All right. Timmy, does his resume also warrant a nomination to the U.S. Hall of Fame?
You know, I got to do a hard no on that. Sorry, Dale, but 31 starts, 9 wins. Okay, that's That's a nice career. I don't think it's a great career. You go into the Hall of Fame, I think you have to be great. And when he won the mile for you, Dale, I believe he went off at 64-1. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's something about like right. that. Something like that.
And you know, he did win a lot of nice races, as Dale said. But I just think that to go into the Hall of Fame in the U.S., you got to do something really special. I mean, Cord Vision had a good career. I don't think he had a great career, and I don't think that gets him into the bronze room at Saratoga at the Hall of Fame. But you know, he was a fun horse to watch run. He always tried, but just he's a notch below. I don't think he gets into the conversation in the Hall of Fame in the U.S.
If you win 5 Grade Ones and $3.7 million in your career, and you can't get into the Hall of Fame, this is a tough sport, man.
Tough
it
game
is a tough sport.
We play. Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's but as my good friend Dale says, he would say put them all in, right?
For anybody that shows up every day in this game and lasts a long time, put them in.
Yeah.
Build a bigger building. What's the difference?
All right. Well, one final topic.
Well, we had to disagree on something today, right?
Yeah, all finally. Right. I got to one you guys could disagree on. It is time now to give each of you the opportunity to make one final point before we wrap up the show. It is the West Point of the Week presented by our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds. And don't forget that you can experience the lifestyle of Thoroughbred racehorse ownership with the gold standard in racing partnerships for over 30 years. That's West Point Thoroughbreds. And here's what you do. You text HORSE to 66866 to learn about ownership. That's HORSE to 66866, and you can ask all your questions to Terry Finley and the team at West Point Thoroughbreds, and they will steer you in the right direction. Message and data rates may apply. All right, guys, it's time for your parting shot. Timmy, let's go to you first. What is your West Point of the Week?
Well, my West Point of the Week is I'm down here at Parks doing the Pennsylvania Derbies today, and I think I'm giving a kudo to the racing department down here. They put together a phenomenal card. And the 11-horse Pennsylvania Derby features the Bluegrass winner. It features the Arkansas Derby winner and also the Haskell winner in Cyberknife, the Santa Anita Derby winner in Taba, Florida Derby winner in Guaita Barrio. It's a very contentious race that they have down here, a very competitive race, a fun race. So I give kudos to the racing department down here for getting these horses together.
Very good, very good, Timmy. I love going to Parks, but I'm just going to make a commercial for West Point. The sales are wrapping up. There's inventory on the website. The sport of kings has become the sport of syndicates. Don't be afraid. Call and ask questions. Get involved. If you like the sport, you'll love the sport when you're involved.
No doubt about it. Guys, appreciate it. Great show, and look forward to doing it all over again next week.
All right, folks. Next Friday.
Sounds great.
All right, mm-hmm. If you have a topic you would like to hear Dale and Tim debate, you can email it directly to me. That's mike@horseracingradio.net, and I'll do my best to work it in on the shows coming up over the next couple of weeks. I Ask, They Answer, presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program in the College of Business, returns next Saturday, 10:30 Eastern. I am back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.